Because we're about to start May, and May, we think about Mother's Day and how much your mothers love you and how much you should love your mothers and really just love in general. So I love that the book of Ruth, she gets a whole book to herself, and I got to just read and study and pour out in scriptures about Ruth's life, and that's what I want to share with you today, because I read a book by Jen Hatmaker called For the Love. Anyone read that out there? Okay, three people. Love, love, love the book. And Jen Hatmaker always says it like this, for the love. So as I'm reading Ruth, I'm thinking it in more of an endearing, softer yell, but like, for the love of Ruth. Can you say that with me? For the love of Ruth. Because once I get done telling you this story, you're going to see how deeply she loved Naomi, how it completely changed her life. And it was really something that God was guiding on her heart to do and to be so faithful. So here's the story of Ruth. I'll let you look at a couple pictures as I tell it to you. When you get married, that you gain a father-in-law and a mother-in-law, okay? Do you guys understand that? You have two grandmas, two grandpas sometimes, and you just know them as grandma and grandpas and nanas and papas, but you might hear your mom say, my mother-in-law, and that would be your dad's mother. And so that would be a mother-in-law. Some people type it M-I-L, I don't know, to shorten it. But I also want you to hear that you'll hear like weird jokes about mother-in-laws and some slams. That doesn't work with scripture, and it doesn't work with Ruth. So I'm going to give you a new point of view on mother-in-laws. I feel like I married up. I have a wonderful mother-in-law, and I'm certain my husband married up. He has a wonderful mother-in-law, and she's beautiful because I look just like her, okay? And Pastor Brian's not in here to discredit that in any way, but it's true. I mean, like, strangers know who my mother is because I'm a carbon copy of my mother. So we have a deep love for our mother-in-laws, and we know that scriptures say when you get married, you leave and cleave. It doesn't mean you love your family any less, but God has given you enough love to love both families, and both families take precedence. And it's very important to love your mother-in-law. And this whole story is about that, because if my mom told me to come somewhere because my husband died and her husband died, it would not feel funny at all to just take off and leave with my mom and have to start kind of a new life together because our husbands had died. But it would feel very different to travel with your mother-in-law to a whole new life. So I want you to hear what the sacrifice that Ruth made. So Naomi's husband, that's the mother-in-law, had died, and she had two sons, and the two sons got married, and Orpah and Ruth were the daughter-in-laws. And once their husbands died, Naomi said to them, I have nothing for you. All of our husbands have died. In fact, part of the scripture even says that she felt like she was completely abandoned, very, very sad. Give me your saddest face. She felt very abandoned by God. And scripture is very clear to say that she felt forsaken and she had nothing to look forward to. And on top of all of that, she went to her daughter-in-laws and said, please go. Go to your families. I have nothing for you. I have no more sons. Go back to your homelands where you will be well taken care of and you have status. And Orpah, with tears in her eyes, started to plead and say, no, I will not. And then she chose to go and live with her family, which was not a slam. It was just something she chose to do. And then Naomi says it again to Ruth, who kept refusing. And finally, Ruth said, Naomi, please don't ask me that again. And in scriptures, it even says that Naomi, the mother-in-law, wept openly. She was very sad and very heartsick to lose her daughter-in-laws, but knew she needed to give them permission to leave. And Ruth said, Naomi, do not ask me that again. Where you go, I go. Where you live, I will live. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Oh, I have that highlighted in my Bible. It's so profound. It's something I have hanging in our house, too, because I look at that with my husband. Where you go, I go. Where you stay, I stay. It's a bonding term, and it's straight from the book of Ruth. There's songs about it, too. I just really love that line. And Ruth had to convince Naomi to say, this is what I am choosing. So they chose to leave together. Now, they had no heritage where they were once their husbands had died, but Naomi had relatives, and so they had to make a pilgrimage, which means to pack up everything they had and move to a whole new land, and they had to head to Bethlehem. And even in scriptures, it says once Ruth got to Bethlehem, Naomi was known. She had relatives. She had some land in her name. That was all fine. She still wasn't going to be well taken care of, but she had some status. Ruth was known as a foreigner, like super surprised the whole community that she chose to go live with Naomi. She was a foreigner. Nobody knew her. But you know what the people said? They were amazed at the choice she had made to stay with her mother-in-law, Naomi. So even though this person was a foreigner, their hearts were even like, huh, what a sacrifice. Was that deep love to leave with Naomi? You should say yes. That was deep love. And people were even kind of shocked and overwhelmed with her story that she chose to do it. Well, the reason I'm dressed like a farmer is because there was no jobs for widows. So there was farmland and crops and farm hands that dealt with the crops, and then there were even servants behind them. So every time they went to thresh the fields, they would, of course, leave some grains behind. And so here comes the first round. That would be the farm hands, and they're picking it up. Then whatever was left came servants. They picked up whatever was left, and that's how they kind of got their money and their food. And then if you were a widow and had nothing, you were the last to pick the fields. So we're talking like tiny, tiny little grains scattered about. Ruth had to wait for everybody to leave, and Naomi said, go to Boaz's farmland. He is a part of my family tree. They will show mercy to you. So she's the third one to go along the crop line and pick up the tiniest of things. Anything. Oh, don't put it in your mouth. That's gross. The tiniest of things. These are just props. It's not a real acorn. And that was all that she had left. And then she could go home and make a meal and, you know, have some money for her and Naomi. And Naomi even said, how did it go today? How did it go on Boaz's farmland? And Ruth faithfully did as Naomi said. And Boaz even kind of noticed Ruth. I have a feeling she was maybe kind of beautiful. And he kind of caught her eye and wanted to know more about her. And the community was able to say why Ruth was there. So Boaz told his people, leave extra behind, show favoritism and love to Ruth. And at one point, he even gave her some. And Naomi said, I think Boaz likes you. Kind of like a little love story. So then she goes back and continues to do that. So Boaz and Ruth meet. Boaz shows mercy and love and lets her have even more crops. They kind of get to know each other. Naomi knows that she is being faithful and being loved by Ruth. And because of her faithfulness, we can see a whole line of heritage in Scripture of what happens next. My favorite part is a little love story. Boaz and Ruth meet. Boaz does everything he's supposed to do in making it known that he will take Ruth as his wife. And they get married. So even though Naomi's her mother-in-law, really she's become a mother. It's the only family Ruth has. And in her family heritage is Boaz. They get married. And so Naomi is blessed with a new family. Her daughter-in-law stayed with her. She is like a daughter to her now, completely. Marries Boaz. And Boaz and Ruth have a son named Obed. Obed has Jesse. Jesse has David. Do you see the scripture lineage? This faithfulness is poured out into scripture. They had to be faithful because we know about King David and everything that he does after this point. It was a very important story of this deep, deep love. In John, 1 John 4:7, it says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Now, I love the Lord, and I think of the love that Jesus pours out to me every day and his grace, which, man, I need because I'm a failed person. If I didn't have his love and his grace, you wouldn't want to be around me. I'd probably have a very ugly spirit. I would be quick to be judgmental. I'd be quick-tongued. I'd be crabby and all these qualities. Would anyone want to be around somebody like that? Bah humbug. Absolutely not. But when you have the love of God in your heart and you are reading these scriptures and you know how much God wants you to have love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, it's because I'm faithful to him that I want to be faithful to the relationships around me. And he says that the love comes from God. So we are filled with even more love and we're expected to love bigger and better. Do you know people in your lives who probably don't love God? Can you think of someone? Think of someone in your mind if they don't love God. Do they tend to be kind of ugly spirited and kind of hard to be around? But even if you don't love God, do you think they love their mom and dad? Do you think that they show love to people? Can you love somebody even if you don't love God? Absolutely. A love is an emotion, a feeling that everybody can have. But rarely do we have it for everybody, right? Like, I'll love my mom and dad, but you bug me. I'm not going to love you. A person can say that. Can I say that as a lover of Jesus? Absolutely not. I would disappoint God. I would disappoint my relationships around me. God holds us to a higher standard when we take him as our Lord and Savior. We are to love God and love others. And this is what God says right in scripture for Corinthians. So look at my hearts. 1 Corinthians 13. Sometimes we see it at weddings. But what I really like is notice my color differentiation. There is things that love is and things that love is not. So really try to hear the two. Love is kind. That would be truthful, right? If you're a kind person and showing love. Love never fails. Do you get to decide that you'll be done loving somebody? I recommend highly in your life that you never utter these words to your mom or dad. I don't love you anymore. That's just like a weapon that I would say, don't go there. Oh, please, please, please never say, I hate you, mom and dad, either. We don't ever have to say those words. Can you not like something that they're telling you? Can you be bummed or disappointed from a consequence? Absolutely. Here's a secret. Do you think your parents are kind of bummed at you sometimes too? Parents, do you love them unconditionally? Absolutely. That's why they're all still alive, right? I mean, like, let's be truthful. We love them unconditionally, but do we love everything they do? And you know what? You're not gonna love everything your mom and dad does either. We are all failed humans, but we are doing our best as grown-ups to love on you and to raise you right. And sometimes it means we have to say no. Sometimes it means we have to give a consequence. But love never fails. Love is patient. Oh, I love you. Put on your shoes, get out the door. We're late for church. Anyone want to confess that this morning? Now, before I was a pastor's wife, I was a pastor's kid. And my sister and I called my mom out on that a few times. Good morning. Good morning. I mean, I try really hard to be a little more authentic than that with my kiddos, but they could totally sell me out if they were here. So love is patient. Are we always going to be patient, though? No, I fail in that, too. I pray the fruits of the Spirit over me every morning. I teach you guys all day, every day, Sunday through Thursday. So I need lots of patience. It takes a lot of effort for teachers. In fact, this week is Teacher Appreciation Week. I can tell you the secret, too. They love you, but they don't always like you either. And you're going to come home and say things you don't like about your teacher. It's really 50-50 sometimes. But they love you enough that they show up every day to teach you and to try their best. And what do we need to do in return? Love on them, show up, and try our best. Yes. Love keeps no records of wrong. Don't bring up stories. If you've had an instance with your grown-up or your sibling, don't bring it up a month later and say, do you remember when you blah, 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 blah? That's keeping record of wrong. It's not self-seeking. Well, if I show lots of love right here, come here, my darling. I love you. Don't I look like the most loving teacher? Was that fake? That's self-seeking. I should authentically love her as much in quiet, private as I should in public. My love should not change. Don't seek it out. It is not proud. Proud's a lot like this other word I'm going to use called boasting. Proud and boasting are very similar. We probably don't use those words a lot, but love is not proud. Love does not boast. Again, that's to have to say out loud your qualities. People should just know that by looking at you. We shouldn't have to name them or claim them. It does not envy. Where do we see the word envy in something else I really hit hard upstairs? In the really recommended ways we should live, or in the strong 10, what? 10 commandments? Yes, what does it say for the 10 commandments? Remember, yep. Yes. Say it out loud, really big. So envious and covet are kind of similar, meaning they have what I want and I'm going to be jealous of it or ugly about it, or I think their life is so much better than mine and kind of seeking that out. Good job. I was going to start singing the song, but I changed my mind. But that's how we learn the Ten Commandments upstairs to a boogie. It is not easily angered. This would be very quick to be quiet, not quick to speak or to prove your point. Not easily angered. So I love the saying, where many words are, sin is very close. Sin is present, meaning the more you talk and yammer and argue about it, the closer you are to having to say, I'm sorry for something. It's not easily angered. We need to take a deep breath. Everybody? We need to think about it and pray about it before we're going to say it out loud, because chances are God's going to stir your heart in another direction and you are going to be quiet about it. And it is not rude. This is right here in the book of Corinthians, and we see it a lot of times at weddings. So that's just like defining of love and how it's written out in Scripture. But I can prove to you through Scripture how you are to love every person in your life in one way or another. So when you get your take-home sheet today, it's pink, and I'm going to put you on a little love challenge. And it says Sunday, so today all the way through next Saturday, you are going to choose to read this Scripture. You are going to choose to love on that person in a very specific way. And in scripture, it tells you why you're supposed to do that. So for today, it would be to love God. Love the Lord your God. Today, Sunday, is a great day to do that. Matthew 22, 37 says, love the Lord your God. On Monday, can you think of someone who really bugs you at school? Someone who you're just pretty darn sure you don't need to love because God would say, yeah, that person's mean. Matthew 5, 44 says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Here's the thing I tell my own four kids. There are ugly spirits all around them. There are ugly spirits around me too. And I cannot give them any weight in my life or it'll bring me down. And when you're around a lot of negativity, I could become a more negative person. So you get to do two things. You are empowered. You do not join them in that because you have the love of Jesus and you're going to show love, but you also don't have to take it. You have the power to, what do I say upstairs all the time? You have the power to what? Say it loud. Walk away. Grown-ups, remind your kids of this. I say it upstairs all the time. They have the power to walk away. You are nobody's punching bag. They're negative, ugly, saying unkind things. You don't have to stay and listen. If you weren't there, would they have an audience? No. And then your heart can ache and you can be sad. And then come to me. Come to your grown-up. I pray for hedges of protection around each of you. I pray it fervently over my four kids. Ugly, mean-spirited people are everywhere. They're all around us. But I pray that God puts a hedge of protection around you that you wouldn't have to hear it. You are nobody's punching bag to have to hear their negativity. You have the power to walk away. But what an amazing power you have when you love the Lord, that morning you can commit that you're going to show love and model something different and better for them. Loving our enemies. On Tuesday, Colossians 3:20, it says, children, obey your parents in everything. In everything or some things?
Everything.
Everything. What if on Tuesday, even mom or dad might feel a little crabby and they're like, clean your room. And you did this. Yes, mom. Try it. Clean your room.
Yes, mom.
Thank you. Did you see a perfect tonal pitch too? That was spot on. Sorry, couldn't help myself. Little music teacher in me. Do it all together. Clean your room.
Yes, mom.
Or did you take out the trash? Yes, dad. Now, they might have woken up a little crabby. Did you hear in my tone they felt I was a little cranky and crabby? But if you said yes the first time, could you change the whole mood of the day? Could you? Yes. Oh, my goodness. Let's surprise the socks off your grown-up and say yes the first time. That'd be a magical thing. You can all shoot me emails later. How wonderful Tuesday went. On Wednesday, love your neighbors as yourself. Now, it does mean your physical neighbors. One thing I thought about is how often do we walk past something and say, it's not my trash? April is Green Earth Day and Recycle Month and all these things that we can do. Oh, I thought somebody said something at me. Somebody just shout at me? Okay, I'm hearing things or somebody had a really big, God bless you, maybe someone sneezed. I was walking on the trails and they had a great team of people coming and cleaning up the trails to make it nicer. They were unearthed a bike from the river. Loving your neighbors can be two things. Pick up trash even if it's not yours. Don't throw bikes in the river. Go around to your neighborhood and make it a better, cleaner place. Help somebody if they drop something. Those are all things of loving your neighbor, people you may or may not even know. On Thursday, love your friends. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times. Let's be truthful. When you have a good friend in your life, does it make school a little bit happier? It does. Does it make life more enjoyable? Yes, it's good to be social. It's good to have friends that just love you unconditionally. Have you thanked God for that friendship? And if you don't have one, I am testimony to say, I pleaded with God for a year that God would bless me with one godly friend my entire freshman year of high school. It took all year, and by the end of the year, I met my very best friend named Raina. I wanted one person who loved the Lord that I could just chill with no pressure, no stress, no frustration, and she was a blessing to me, and God heard my prayers. I was friends with lots of people, but I wanted one person who just got me. And it took a year of praying and a year of being really picky about my relationships and being able to stand very strong in my faith walk all those years. God hears your prayers, and you need to count them one by one and thank him for them. Thank God for your friends. If you've got a good friend, thank God for them. If not, pray for one, and I will pray that with you. On Friday, this is about our teachers, our principals. If you're in extracurricular activities like a dance instructor or a running coach or a basketball coach, your Sunday school teachers, pastors here, we, in 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 13, we are to pray for those in leadership over us. This is a great week to write a note to your teachers and thank them for all their hard work. Respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord. Hold them in the highest regards of love. And I'm going to challenge you, don't pick your favorite teacher. Pick all your teachers. You're going to jazz and jive with different teachers throughout your whole life. I did too. Choose to thank all of them, and you'll brighten up and encourage their week and their life. And lastly, but still super important, love your brothers and sisters. God says so. I love the saying, because I have a brother, I always have a friend, or because I have a sister, I always have a friend. You know deep down inside, you enjoy these relationships. You just kind of hide it. 1 Peter 2:17, love the brotherhood of believers. Love on your siblings. What if you woke up each morning, looked on your fridge, and committed to saying this prayer, say the scripture out loud, and make that a challenge? And then next week when you see me in kids' church upstairs, when I'm teaching you, I want you to come back and tell me how you prayed this week and where you showed love and felt love throughout your week. My goodness, would our world be an amazing place if we shared love with everybody. So you get a take-home sheet today, and you get this little candy bracelet that you can choose to nibble, or you can choose to give it to your mom and dad as an act of love, and you're going to meet me at the chair. But first, I want to pray over for you this act of love. And may Ruth and her unconditional love for her mother-in-law just resonate in our hearts and in all of us so that we would be a more loving and beautiful place. And grown-ups, love on your kiddos. We are modeling for them every day, and they are pouring it out onto others. Pray with me. Lord, I thank you and praise you for these boys and girls. I thank you for an opportunity to just bring them the message of your word. Lord, I thank you for a church that truly loves children. A special thank you, Lord, for all those that help me in this ministry, that allow these kids to run freely and giggle and talk and sing and learn from you and bond with these grown-ups. May their hearts feel blessed as they work with these kiddos. Lord, I pray a hedge of protection around them, that they would be able to spend a week truly hearing from you about love to others. Lord, that they would challenge themselves to love even the toughest person and to see some fruit from their efforts, and that they would continue to love God and love others because you have called us to do so. May you resonate deeply in their hearts. May they love you, Lord, as much as you love us. We thank you for your love and grace poured out. In Jesus' name, amen. Meet me at the